Amen. I'm glad we're all here today. The fun thing about getting older is that you get to ponder your existence. When you're young, you don't ponder your existence to the extent that you do when you're older. Amen. Maybe some of the reason is because you're not going to be here that much longer, but you do start to go through changes. Thank God for changes. Wouldn't want anybody to stay the same. Come on, you knew yourself at 24, so let me say it again. Wouldn't want anyone to stay the same, right? All right. We've been going through this series on the Lord's Prayer. And this is the last in the series that I'm going to go over. I wanted to split it in two because verse 13, rather, Matthew 13, they actually go together, which says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." I didn't feel like I could teach on all of them the same day, lest we go to Uganda. Now, if we went to Uganda, I could have taught, because they have church in the Uganda. Here, we just, yeah, I mean, they drank a full cup, and we have like a little shot, okay? And so after a couple hours, we're like, somebody said only teach as much as the seat can allow people, and so people get fidgety in their seats and carrying on, and we about done. But they have church for hours. Amen. So God help us. Maybe that's what the Baptist, when we were, I grew up Baptist, and the Baptist, when you went to church all day long. And meals were included. Hallelujah. Meals were included. So we had church back in those days. Amen. Well, today I want to look at deliver us from evil. Jesus told us to pray it. And oh, how we need it. Oh, how we need it. Amen. So let's pray. We'll get into the word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you that you've called us out of the world and into the church, the family, the church of the living God. And Father, we thank you that as we come to the Word of God, we come to the place, Lord, where we even more hear your voice speaking to us. Holy Spirit, anoint me. Holy Spirit, anoint hearts and ears to hear and receive what it is the Spirit is saying to the church. And where you speak, life abounds, oh God. Where you speak, guidance and counsel is received. Where you speak, oh God, the dead are raised. Where you speak, Lord, the lame are healed and the sick are made whole. And so we thank you right now, Father, that your will would be done and your kingdom would come in this earth, in these earthen vessels, by the power of the Spirit and in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. All right. So here we are. Let's look at our text one more time. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil or from the evil one. In the Greek, there is an article there. In the King James, it says, deliver us from evil. But in the Greek, there's an article, therefore the word the. Deliver us from the evil one. Speaking, evil speaking generally, okay, but the evil one speaking specifically to the tempter. The accuser. And it would go hand in hand with lead us not into temptation. The tempter, lead us not there, but also deliver us not from evil, but deliver us also from the evil one. For he goes about as a roaring lion seeking. Right? And so, just as Satan is the one who tempts, he's also the one who brings evil upon the children of God. Okay, I want to look at three areas in this deliver us from evil. The first area is Satan. And that speaks to the evil that is against us, right? The next one is the world. That speaks to the evil that is around us. And then you know what the last one is. That speaks to the flesh. And that has to do with the evil that's within us. Okay? The evil that's against us, the evil that is around us, and the evil that is within us. Notice, now I struggled putting that last one. I struggled wording it that way. but alas, I had to come to the truth. The evil that is within us. And like last week, the first two are outward. The first two, it's one thing to have evil coming against you. It's one thing having evil all around you. But beloved, hear me. It's a whole other thing to have evil resident within you. Okay, and the one that gets us the most is that last one. That is that last one. And we'll see as Paul struggled with it as well. So I guess I could say we're in good company. Well, let's look at it. Satan, the evil that is against us. Everyone knows the scripture in Acts chapter 5 with the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Here we have a person who was born of the Spirit, they're in the church of God. This is after the day of Pentecost. Chances are pretty much 90-some% that Ananias and Sapphira were filled or baptized in what we know to be the Holy Ghost. They were fire baptized, tongue-talking believers. And yet there is an evil that would come against you and I. There is an evil that would come against the saints of God. And in this passage of Scripture, you know the story. God is poured out his grace upon the house of God, the saints of God, and people are selling property that they own, because if you remember, they're selling property to take care of one another. And what caused that to come about was this. On the day of Pentecost, all the Jews from all over the world had come to worship in Jerusalem. Okay? They had made temporary accommodations for the feast, but after the feast, you go back home. But during the feast, the Holy Spirit is poured out, said on the day of Pentecost, the Pentecostal feast, that the Spirit was poured out, people got saved, and they didn't just run back home. They stayed in Jerusalem. They're worshiping. Some people never went back home. Some would have stayed right there. And so saints are selling property, caring for one another, putting up one another, and God has poured out this grace upon his church in care for one another. And Ananias and Sapphira are tempted by the devil. The devil comes to them, and he puts it in their heart or in their mind. Notice what Peter says. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? Filled your heart. You know, it's one thing to note about the human heart. It has capacity. It has capacity. You know, when a thought comes by, and when the older you get, the more thoughts go by. You know, they come, but they don't remain. They come and say, honey, what was that? You know, they come and they go, right? They go right on by. They keep going. But the human heart has capacity. In other words, you can have a thought and think about something and it keep going. It doesn't stay. And then you can have a thought that comes and it abides and it remains. And it can begin to fill and fill and fill and fill one's heart. Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And so what we see here is that Satan brings evil upon the child of God through temptation to sin against God. Satan brings evil upon the child of God through temptation to sin against God. Is it any wonder Jesus said, pray, but deliver us from evil? Come on. And Satan comes to you and I. Oh, yes, he does. We may not recognize it as such. Eve didn't recognize that Satan was in the serpent, and she's talking to the serpent. How many times have you and I not recognized that somebody's talking to us? Hello? Somebody's talking to us. But Satan comes, and he masquerades as an angel of light, because you think you're hearing from God, and you ain't hearing from anything but the devil. Right? And so we need to understand that Satan, that evil, comes against the child of God. To live a lie is to be under the influence of Satan. To live a lie is to live under the influence of Satan. Oh, Pastor, come on, it's just a little thing, you know. It's just, my husband doesn't know, or my wife doesn't know, or that child doesn't know. They don't need it. It's just a little. To live under a lie. God is I taught last year on truth and how that God, the Holy Spirit, is called the Spirit of Truth. And for the Christian, that it is impossible for the Christian to live, to maintain the life of a lie. It is impossible. Why? Because the Spirit of Truth who dwells on the inside of us is constantly convicting our conscience about the lie that we're living, and it's impossible to live under that. It's impossible to live under that. And so at some point I have to come clean with this. I have to bring this to God. I have to bring it out into the open. John 8:44, Jesus said that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. The father of lies. So for me to live a lie, and may not even know it, but for me living under that lie, I am living under the direct influence of Satan himself. I shared the story last week of how that Christian businessman was evading taxes. And he was living a lie. He's living a lie, and he had to own up to it at some point, not because he wanted to, but because the government found out. And he lost his entire business because he was living a lie. What was that? Well, he took the bait that Satan offered him. It could be a whole lot better if you just don't tell them how much money you made. I remember years ago, One minister came to our church, and he was preaching, and he was just tearing it up. And then he stood up and he said, "I don't have to tell the government how much money I made last year." And everybody, we were like, "What? For real? Did I just hear what I said? I don't have to tell the government." I thought to myself, "Oh boy. Oh boy." Beloved, you cannot live. What was that but Satan whispering in his ear, like he whispered to Eve? Eve, it's good now, but God hasn't let you know everything, girl. If you come and have some of this, you can know everything God knows. Can I? That same preacher said, left his wife, left the church, ran off with another woman, never heard from him again. Can't live a lie. Now, you know, God's patient, and he will endure things with us, like in the scriptures. I have a process of, well, I see a biblical process that God takes us through. It's real simple. When God wants change, he speaks to you. When he wants change in your life, he speaks to you. And he'll speak to you over and over. Remember Israel, God said, "I sent them prophets, raising up prophets and sending them, but they wouldn't listen." When we don't listen, because God spoke to Ananias and Sapphira, just as sure as I'm standing here, because God speaks to us first. Then when we don't listen, he goes and he gets outside influence. When we reject inward, the inward conviction of the Holy Spirit, then he goes and gets a prophet, or maybe not even, he just speaks to someone. It could be that cockroach crawling across your floor. Look up at you, you better get it right. But listen, he uses outside influence. Balaam wasn't listening to God in his devotion. Balaam went to God, said, God, do you want me to go? God says, no. He said, okay, come back, said, God, let me make sure you said, make sure I got that right. You hadn't changed your mind. And God had already told him no. I ain't changed my mind. But when Balaam wouldn't listen to the inward influence of God, God used something outside of him. He used a donkey. And so God will come to us, and someone else will pop up in our life, and they didn't even know anything, but God will use them. They'll be speaking to us. Parents, you're the first one in line with your children. That's why the scripture says children obey your parents. That's why I pray for children, that children would listen to their parents, because the first order, when God wants to speak into the life of a child, guess where he goes? First and foremost, he goes to the parent. When the children aren't listening, he goes to the parent. And then after that, if we don't listen to someone outside of us, God uses circumstances to speak. But he's so patient. He's so long-suffering, and he endures. And then after that, well, you know, yeah, the hammer could fall, or who knows. But God has ways of speaking to his people so that we would hear, so that he might deliver us from evil. You know what was interesting about Adam and Eve in the garden is this. When God said, they that you eat of that tree, you'll die, he wasn't telling them that for his sake. When God says to you and me, he's not telling us that for his sake. Come on, Job said, if I sin against God, what does that do to him? Nothing. But what does it do to you and I? Oh, my God. So he's telling us for our sake. Children, when God speaks to you through your parents, he's telling it to you for your sake. God help us to get that. All right, I'm getting off. All right, let's go to the next one. Mark 8:31, we begin to see here, we're still under the attack or the evil that is against us from Satan. This passage of Scripture, Jesus is telling the disciples the many things he's going to suffer, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. This is not just any old attack. Jesus is telling them about the greatest thing that is going to happen in human history. He's telling them about the greatest event in all of human history that's about to come. And Peter, the one who said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Have you ever taken your teacher aside and begin to rebuke them? Anyone? Okay. But Peter takes Jesus aside, the one who raised the dead, the one who spoke to the winds and the storm and said, peace be still, and they listened. All of a sudden, Peter has it in his mind that Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about. What was that? Well, it wasn't just Peter being prideful, because Jesus turned, when he turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And so what we have here is a passage of Scripture that shows that the devil will use people to stop you in what God has called you to do. The devil will bring evil against you to try and get you to stop what God has already started in your life. And so he does it here. He uses Peter in the life of Jesus to come against Jesus. And notice what he says. He didn't say you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of Satan. He said the things of men. Satan is mindful of the things of men. Why? Because men are subject to him because they don't follow God. And so Satan is mindful of those things. See? I had this happen to me recently, and in no way could I ever come up with a story that was as significant in the life of Jesus. But I remember just recently, my company had done some work to the tune of almost $3,000, and the prayer team knows about Tuesday night because we pray over things. So I was sitting in a gas station having my car worked on and talking to the owner of the gas station. We were talking about business and different things like that, and you know, it came up that court and all that, and you've taken people to court, and you know how it is. And I'm sitting there, and he says, yeah, I had a guy beat me out some money too. Man, I took him to court, I did everything. And he says, I never did get that money. And then he turned to me and said, you know what? You're not going to see a dime of that money. You're not getting anything. And at that moment, I came under discouragement and a mental attack. Literally. I mean, I began to, it was just, and before I noticed what was going on, I began to say to myself, wow, did God really tell me to pursue this? Am I really going to, you know, and all these questions start going through my mind. Man, I left out of there. You know, I got my car inspected, picked it up, took my truck back to the shop. I'm like, man. And then the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And the fog that had descended on me, it was like when God spoke, I said when he speaks, things change. It was like God blew on me and blew the fog right out from around, and all of the, everything left. And he said, you will surely recover all, like he said to David. Go against Ziklag, for you will surely recover all. And when he said that, I said, that's God, hallelujah, I believe God. I believe God. Because let me tell you what the attack was designed to do. See, the attack here was to get Jesus not to go through, not to believe that this is what you're for. He said, these things shall not happen to you. No. Jesus said, this is why I was born. For this purpose, I came into the world, to die on the behalf of man. And so for Jesus not to receive this would be for him to enter in unbelief. Now, how can God enter in unbelief? Well, he can't. But you and I can't. And so I began to wave it off, but the Holy Ghost came along and said, oh, no, what I said, I meant. And so I remember coming to church and telling the church, say, yo, we're going to pray. But I tell you, Satan came against me today. And I said that night, when I get all that money back, I'm going to go to that gas station and I'm going to say, let me tell you what happened. You may not got yours, but I got mine, to the glory of God. See, because I'm not just dependent on the court system. Come on. God said, listen, son, you do what you do, I do what only I can do. Come on. You go to court, but I'm the only one that can make it work out on your behalf. And so I went to court, and bless God, to this date, I've gotten $2,000 of that money, and the next $1,000 is supposed to be coming this next week. And when I get it, I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. The devil didn't want me to believe God. Didn't want me to believe God. But God's doing it. Amen? And so the devil uses people to attack what is going on in your life. He uses people to attack and to bring evil against that which God, I mean, if God is doing it, the devil's going to attack it with evil. You can count on that. So Jesus said, pray, deliver us from evil. Amen? Let's move on to the next one, the world. The evil that's all around us. And I need not say, I don't have to delineate all the evil that is around us, for all one has to do is to live and move and have your being. And it will accost you. It will assault you. It's every moment of every waking day. But I love Galatians 1:3-5, which reads, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, listen, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. according to the will of our God and Father, to him to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This present evil age is characterized by sin. Evil is sin. We know that to be true. The devil is called the evil one. He is the one who sinned from the beginning. And so, but the scripture says here that Christ, when he gave himself for our sins, that giving has delivered us from this present evil age. In other words, when Christ died for our sins, the power of this evil age over us was broken. The power of this evil age over us was broken. Christ's perfect and atoning blood cleansed our hearts from sin and evil so that this evil age has no hold on us any longer. He cleansed our hearts from sin and evil so that now this present evil age has no hold over us. And so in the world is full of sin, and when we were sinners, we were full of sin. Like, come on, corresponded with like. But when Jesus came, he took the sin and the evil. Remember, Hebrews talks about, he says, beware that there be not in you an evil heart of unbelief. What is evil about an unbeliever? That they don't receive Christ. They don't believe what God said about his son. That's what's evil about it. But when you and I receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus' own blood cleansed our heart from sin and thus the evil. And so now we are in a world that we are not part of. When Jesus came, he said this. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. An astounding statement. My kingdom is not of this world, else my servants would fight. Now listen, what kingdom are you in? You're in God's kingdom. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Is it any wonder sometimes that you feel like you want to go to heaven? Come on. I feel like so many times I've been walking around the shop in tears. I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? I'm walking around. I don't want to be here. I want to be with you. He said, that's because you were made to be with me. You were made to be with me. But right now, you're in the world. Just like my son had his time in the world, and he came home, you have your time, and then you're coming home to be with me. So, notice, the scripture doesn't say that Jesus changed the evil of this present age. He hasn't done it yet. He will. But what he did was he changed us. He changed us. And so we've been made brand new. The Galatians' belief in Christ's perfect sacrifice for them through grace is what delivered them from their sin and this evil age. The Judaizers wanted them to be circumcised and to keep the law, which would have plunged them back into the world and back into sin and back into dominion of this evil age. So, when Christ's blood atoned for our sin, we were released, we were delivered. Jesus said, pray, deliver us from evil. Here we see Jesus delivered us from this present evil age, this world system all around us. Now, Jesus said in John 17:16, I just want to share a few scriptures that, I pray that we, in our walk with Jesus, not in the works and the striving of our flesh, but in our walk with Jesus, we will come to a great realization of. I didn't put these up there, so bear with me for a second. Jesus said in John 17:16, in this great prayer, remember, this is his high priestly prayer. He's praying for the church. He's praying for you and I. And he says this, and this blows my mind. He says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I just want to let that sink in for a second. They are not of the world. Listen, beloved, we are aliens here. We are aliens. We are not of this world. And then you wonder why you can go to all the amusement parks, do all that the world does, and you wonder why it doesn't fulfill you. But then you walk into a worship service, throw your hands up. Or you go into prayer, or God, with one touch, he touches you, and you find yourself so fulfilled. You find yourself, your cup running over. Because God did not design the things of this world to satisfy you. Because we are not of this world. Why is that so important? Because so many Christians run around trying to get filled with the world. Oh! Get, fill me up. Come on, get more. I'm not satisfied, beloved. You won't be. Not here. You're not of this place. You're not of this world. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we wait for the Savior to come. Oh, my goodness. Come on. My citizenship. Where I live, where I hold residency. The song we sang, there's a mansion, I'm told about a mansion in glory. My citizenship and where I hold residency is in heaven, not here. I'm not of this world. His kingdom is not from here. He says, listen, that I've prepared you a place that where I am, you may be also. For those who love him, they want to be with him. They want to love. They love his appearing. They can't wait till he comes. And so Jesus goes on. John 12:25, he said this, he who loves his life will lose it. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world. Did you hear me? He who hates his life. What do you mean, hate my life, Jesus? I got everything. I got the money. I got the honeys. I got this. I got that. I'm loving it. You are? Oh, Lord. Well, we're going to pray for you. We're going to lay hands. We're going to pray the Holy Ghost to get a hold of you. Jesus said, he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Don't follow this world. Don't follow this world. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. And then we all know John, 1 John 2:15, do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John, don't you think that's a bit harsh? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Listen, and the world is passing away. Huh? My 401k passing away? Huh? My business? I work so hard for, huh? Passing away. My car, my house. Lord knows that house need to pass away. Come on. You mean all this stuff is passing away? Yes. Passing away. Don't love the world. Love the Father. Don't love the things created. Love the Creator. Come on. The world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. You see, it's an evil thing to love the things of the world, but deliver us from evil. It's an evil thing to love anything more than God.
but deliver us from evil.
And yet Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6
that the love of money is the root of all evil. Because
there were pastors, there were those in the ministry. You understand now that he was talking to Timothy, a man in the ministry. And there were men in those days, just like there are men in these days, whose eyes are filled with dollar signs when they see people. They see money. And all they care about is money. And God says to love money is evil.
When Jesus died, he didn't own a house, a donkey. They stripped his clothes. He had nothing. We're trying to die with everything.
Do you hear me? I said, we're trying to die with everything. Come on. And all of that is, you know, James, so we looked at this a couple of weeks ago in James chapter 5. James said, go to now you who say, chapter 4. Go to now you who say, we're going to go and buy and sell in a city and get riches and so forth. He said, for you don't know what your life is. It is even a vapor that appears for a moment, and then it's gone. He says, therefore, what you ought to say is that if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. He says, but since you don't, he said, all such rejoicing is evil. He said, all such rejoicing is evil. It is evil for me to plan all that I'm going to do and not consider what God has. Hello? Lord, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from this, the influences of the world that is around us. Because the world tells you, you can have it all. You can have it all. Come on. And God. Thank you. You can have it all and God. Quite the opposite. 1 John 5:4, a good verse to memorize. But whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Do you know what John exalts? He doesn't exalt the world. Do you know what God's looking at when he looks at you and I? He's not looking at how much material stuff we have. He's looking at how much faith. How much will that person trust me? If I bring this into their life, if I allow that into their life, will they still trust me? Isn't that the story of Job? Have you considered my servant Job? Do to him what you will, but he will not curse me to my face. I've seen his faith. I've laid my hand on his face, and I honor his faith. God was looking at his faith. Job had everything. God says, I'll allow it all to be touched to prove his faith. God does not look at what you have in terms of material possessions. He looks at you and what you have in terms of faith. And when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? That the trying of your faith, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, that the trying of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of our great God, Jesus Christ. That the trying of your faith, which is much more precious than gold that perishes, that the trying of your faith, which is much more precious than gold that perishes, come on, that the trying of your faith, which is much more valuable to God than your 401k, your savings account, your checking account, that the trying of your faith. This is what God is at. When the world is throwing around us and saying, look at this, I want that next flat screen television.
Oh, hell no.
A flat screen television? Are you serious? Hello. That the trying of your faith. See, the devil and the world around us does not want us, our eyes to be set on that which is most important. Praying for you, Mary, as you go to college, that the trying of your faith, because your faith will be tried, that the trying of your faith,
which is much more precious than gold or silver, would be found unto praise, honor, and glory. That your faith would bring honor and glory to God. When you are tried, you'll be found true. Come on. All of us, when we are tried, we will be found true. Because of the influences of the world all around us, 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We have the greater one inside of us. We have the greater one living on the inside of us. Yet the world wants to tell us, this is great. Come on, go after this. This is great. Hello? God help us. Deliver us from the evil that's all around us, because the world wants to tell us what's good and right. And when the world tells us what's good and right, we know that it's evil and bad. Come on. Because the world, 1 John said, is under the sway of the wicked one. The world is under the sway of the influence of the wicked one. So when the world tells you what's good and right, you know it is wrong and evil. And so I don't have to, nor should I do, what this evil age says to do. I don't have to, nor should I wear or value what this world says I should wear or value. Come on. Why? Because I'm not of this world. I am not of this world. You know what? It's perfectly okay. It's perfectly okay to go to work drunk on Jesus, thinking about Jesus all day long. And I mean, sometimes I'm at work and I'm constantly saying to myself, Lord, I can't get over how great you are. I can't get over that you came and saved me. Come on, me? Lord, do you know how bad and wicked? He's like, huh? You came and saved us? You who we would never have known you if you hadn't revealed yourself to us. Do you understand that? We would have never known him if he hadn't revealed himself to us. But he came and revealed himself to me. To me, that's the greatest possession that we could ever have. When he reveals himself to us. And it's perfectly, they used to say that you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Listen, I give you permission. Be heavenly minded. They say some Christians are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And some Christians are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. Well, I'd rather be so heavenly minded than I'm no earthly good. Bless God, I want my head in the clouds. Say, he's always got his head in the clouds. Yes, indeed. Got my head in the heavens. Loving Jesus. Can't wait till he comes back. I don't have to have what this evil age says I have to have. Come on. Oh, do you want to hear it? I've been cleaning carpet for years. And until a few years ago, I had never gone to a quote-unquote seminary. In the world, if you're going to pastor, you have to go to school. Can't find that in the New Testament to save my life. But the world will tell you. I understand Peter was a pastor. I understand John was quite a revelator. But Peter and John, they were fishermen. James and the John, the sons of Zebedee, they were fishermen. Peter was a fisherman. God cannot possibly use you without you going to school. So I've had people come to me and say, well, what school did you go to? I thought to myself, are you serious? When he calls you, he qualifies you. When he calls you, he makes you ready. He doesn't call you without qualifying and making you ready. And what God does, no man can do. And so, I don't have to do what this world says I have to do. I don't have to think or be of the opinion of what this world says I should be of. Well, it's called a fetus. No, it's not. It's called a baby. Well, there's no life at conception. When God conceived it, it was alive. That's a baby. That's a child. We're going to call it what God calls it, not what this evil age calls it. One day, I'll probably get locked up for saying something like this, but homosexuality is wrong. Lesbianism is aberrant. It is wrong. It is not what God ordained for men and women. I am not bound by sin to this sinful world. We need to get, there needs to be that influence. See, we don't understand how influenced we are by the evil and the wickedness around us. Listen, if you see enough of it, you'll begin to think it's okay. Listen, if you see, the scripture says this about Lot, that he vexed his righteous soul by the conversation of the wicked. By living in Sodom, he vexed his righteous soul. Did you know, when you read the story, and come on, some of us have probably read Genesis by this time, but when you read Genesis, Lot wasn't telling his house to get packed up and let's go. These people are too wicked. The angels came in and said, the Lord has sent us to destroy this place. Get all of your family, get them out of here. Do you know what the scripture says? Now the angels waited all night long. I told you God is long-suffering. These two angels, they wait all night long for Lot to get his act together. And here's painful what the scripture says. While they lingered, Lot now has a divine message from heaven. We have been sent to destroy the cities of the plain. Get up and get out. And Lot is sitting around. He's waiting. And he's not moving. The scripture says about Noah, he moved with godly fear, condemned the world, and saved his entire household. When God said, I'm going to destroy the earth, Lot got busy. What do you want me to do? Build an ark. Okay, tap, 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 tap. Come on, boys. Let's get this thing put together. He moved with godly fear. Lot was hanging out. You know why? Because Lot got so used to the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah that he felt comfortable. You ever seen that frog in the kettle? That frog in the boiling water? He just sits there, has no idea that he's dying. They kept increasing the temperature of the water. And the frog never jumped out of the pot. He could have just jumped out, but he stayed there until he died. Why? He could not discern that there was any danger. And we get that way. We can be that way because of the influence of the evil of this world around us. But for the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen at what Barnes' commentary says about this passage of Scripture. Here it means the world as it is without religion, a world of bad passions, false opinions, corrupt desires, a world full of ambition and of the love of pleasure. Can I say something? And if it comes out wrong, well, it won't come out wrong, but I've learned something in my 40, I'll be 48 this year. I love getting older. I really do. Because God teaches you so much. Lovers of pleasures. I'm going to share with you one thing God told me. Son, I'm not interested in your pleasure.
Wow.
Now, don't get me wrong now. He's talking about my pleasures down here. There's pleasures. Come on, at thy right hand are pleasures for evermore. Psalm 16 verse 11 says that. Okay, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, pleasures. Who's at the right hand? Jesus. Pleasures forevermore. When we get to heaven, beloved, we're going to have our fill of Jesus. Pleasures forevermore. But listen, while I'm here, I ain't interested. Son, I'm not working for your pleasures. I am not working to please or to tantalize every bit of your flesh. That is not why I'm here. You are here for me. Thank you, Jesus. And of the love of pleasures and of gold, a world where God is not loved or obeyed, a world where people are regardless of right and truth and duty, where they live for themselves and not for God. In short, that great community which in the scriptures is called the world, in contradistinction from the kingdom of God. That world, that evil world, is full of sin. And the object of the Redeemer was to deliver us from that. That is, to effect a separation between his followers and that. It follows, therefore, that his followers constitute a unique community. That's the church. We are a unique community, not governed by the prevailing maxims, not governed by the by what the world calls truth, or influenced by the special feelings of the people of this world. And it follows also that if there is not, in fact, such a separation, then the purpose of the Redeemer's death in regard to us has not been affected. And we are still a part of the great and ungodly community, the world. And so he calls us out. He delivered us from this great evil age. Jesus, again, in his high priestly prayer in verse 15, John 17, 15 says this, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Now, there's sometimes when we pray that, oh, Lord, Lord, I want to be with you. But Jesus said, no, I'm not going to pray. And he wasn't only praying for those disciples, he was praying for these disciples, you and me. And he prayed, don't take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. The King James says, keep them from evil. The New King James says, keep them from the evil one. So in the broadest sense, the great Christ, our great high priest, our great intercessor, has prayed for you and I to be kept from the great evil. And because he prayed for Peter, and Peter made it through, because he prayed for all the disciples and they made it through. Listen, I believe that God, Christ, our intercessor, has prayed for us and that we will not be overcome by the evil of this world. For what is that that overcometh the world? It's the victory of our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So we shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Amen. Someday. Hallelujah. All right. So we pray, Lord, deliver us from the evil of this world. And then lastly, we have to deal with the flesh. We have to deal with the flesh. In Genesis 6 and 5, the scripture says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I thought to myself, dear God, that is so conclusive. Listen at this. That the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Now listen at this. That every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do you know what that means? There is none good, no, not one. Was there any that would seek God that anyone can? No. They have all gone astray, the scripture says. There was nothing in us. There wasn't an ounce of goodness in any of us. That's why when the rich ruler, he comes and says, good master, what may I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. There is none good but one. The New Testament confirms the Old Testament because Jesus said in Matthew 7:11, if you then being evil, who is he talking to? These are the people on the Sermon on the Mount. Most of these people will become his disciples. He said, if you then being evil, hold on, Jesus, me? You just told me something about me I didn't know. Well, then hear it again. If you then being evil, you mean I have a capacity to be evil? I'll show you in a second. You being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Both the Old and New Testaments agree that the heart of man was evil continually. Listen, the little bit of good, the little bit of good that a man or woman may do does not cancel the evil that is in their heart. the little bit of good. You know, I told you a few weeks back, there was this woman couldn't walk up the, I was driving one day, I was 16 or 17, and I was all by myself, and this woman could not walk up on the curb. I mean, the curb was only so high. She would put one foot up and rock back down, and she put one foot up and rock back down, and I'm staring at the stop sign, and I'm looking at her going, shh, there's a problem here. So I threw the car in park, jumped out, and when she rocked up, I just grabbed her and pulled her up. She said, thank you, sir, and she went on her way. I got in the car and went on my way. But as I got in the car and went on my way, something happened to me. Chest began to swell a bit, and I began to feel kind of good about myself. Yeah. But listen, that little bit of good did not cancel the evil that was in my heart. Come on. And so there are a lot of people that they do a lot of good, but it doesn't cancel the evil that's in the heart. You see? And so we come to Mark chapter 7, verse 20, and it says this. Jesus says, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man, for from within, and here's the great battle, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I leave work, we have an intersection that's getting quite busy. Traffic patterns has changed as BRAC, you know, the realignment of bases, and everything's changing, traffic flow and all this, so there's a lot of traffic. And it's hard to get out of my complex. And beloved, you know how us guys are. You know, where other people would fear to go, we all up in the mix. I mean, you give me a hair with that Camry, with all that horsepower up there, I can get in the line and never break stride. I mean, I'm out. Whoo, they're like, what happened? He's already out. Yeah. And so the other day, I'm leaving work, and this and I drive up, and I get to the intersection. First, this person on the other side, I'm turning left, they're turning right. So they have the better, I have to go across two lanes, they have to go across one. And so I got there first, and so who's first? Now let me get this straight. First, who's first? Now, I know it, and you know it, that I'm first, right? Anybody ever been there? Now, Sherry has victory in this. I don't. So, you know, I'm just, you know, but I know Sherry has, you know, victory. But, and so I looked over across the road and I sized up who was on the other side of the road. And I said, now, you know who got here first, right? You say, Pastor, are you serious? Yeah, I'm letting the cat out the bag. And so before this person could make up their mind, and when a small break came, it was like we were all flowing as one line because I was out and in it, you know. And then this person pulled out behind me, but I could see them cut an eye at me. And the reason why I could see them cut an eye at me is because I cut one at them. You know, I went, you know that was my spot, you know. And so I got in there, but then you know what happened afterward. Yeah, the conviction of the Holy Ghost, you know. So now, you know, you don't have to be like that. It does not have to be like that. And, you know, we, like Adam, you know, but Lord, the woman you gave me, you know, us, you know how we go, but Lord, you know how hard it is to get up out of that place. I mean, don't justify that foolishness with me. It don't have to be like that. I said, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, help me. Help me. I'm impatient. I don't like sitting there. Like that, when these people don't know how to, oh, there you go. Now people don't know how to drive. See? Listen, where did that come from? Do I have a witness? Do I have some camaraderie up here that somebody failing like I am? Come on, don't be fail. All right. I mean, I don't have a victory in the way some of you do. I'm not going to go there. But
Listen, from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these things come from within and defile a man. Now, most of these, you can find them in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, fornication. Paul said, I hear that there's fornication among you, so much as is not named among the Gentiles that a man should have his mother's, have his father's wife. Fornication. Come on. Proceed evil thoughts, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness. In Acts chapter 8, when Simon said, when he saw that Peter and John laid hands upon the disciples and they gave, the Holy Ghost was given to them, he said, he offered them money. And Paul and Peter rebuked him and said, your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. He says, repent therefore, and perhaps the Lord, he says, I see that you are in the bond of wickedness. He says, repent that the Lord perhaps may forgive you of your sin. Speaking of the wickedness that's there. The deceit we just looked at in Acts chapter 5 where Ananias and Sapphira, both of them died, fell down dead because they lied to the Holy Ghost. We see the blasphemy that Paul talked about in teaching Philemon, Hymenaeus and Philetus not to blaspheme in 1 Timothy. The pride and the foolishness, we see it's all in the New Testament. Why do I say that? To show that saints are capable of all these things. When we got saved, our spirits were born again. We have not been perfected yet, beloved. And so we have to wrestle with the evil that is within us. And so basically what we say is, Lord, deliver me from myself. Come on. Deliver me from myself. Isn't that what David said in Psalm 19? When he said, keep back thy servants from presumptuous sins and secret faults. Let them not have dominion over me, Lord. Isn't that the same thing he said when he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable? That's what he's saying. Lord, deliver me. Deliver me from myself. And oftentimes when we pray, Lord, deliver us from evil, that's what we're praying. Lord, deliver me from myself. Because I'm going to hurt myself if you don't help me. And we know that we do hurt ourselves. Amen? All right. Let's see. And then this passage of scripture we know so well. Paul wrestling with what goes on in his own flesh says, what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I want to do or will to do, that I do not practice. Paul must have had a problem with chocolate glazed donuts the way I do. See, what you want to eat, you don't eat. See, what I want to eat is a plate full of vegetables each and every day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then, you know, I wouldn't have to walk sideways through doors and stuff. No, I want to do right. You want to do right, but you don't. Why? Because of this law working in our flesh. But what I hate that I do, if then I do what I will not to do or don't want to do, I agree with the law that it is good, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Not in our hearts, but it dwells in our flesh. And so the spirit and the flesh are contrary one to another so that you cannot do the things that you would. Galatians 5:16 tells us, 17. excuse me. He goes on and he says this, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Nothing good dwells. Boy, when we're in our flesh, we have nothing good for anybody. Nothing good. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Lord, deliver us from evil. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find that a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wants to do good. We all experience this. We want to do good. We want to do what's right until somebody says the wrong thing to me, and then we fly off at the mouth. Yeah. And we fly off. Maybe our great weakness is not running off at the mouth. Some of us, our great weakness is when I get upset, I'm going to eat myself till I feel good. That's right. I don't eat to live. I eat to console myself. That can be a problem. Okay? And so, he goes on. He says that, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man or the spiritual man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And we have that law that is in our members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so Barnes' commentary says, what the conscience could not do, what the law could not do, what unaided human strength could not do, has been accomplished by the plan of the gospel, and complete deliverance can be expected there and there alone. To this point to which all his reasonings has tended. And having thus shown that the law was insufficient to effect this deliverance, he is now prepared to utter the language of Christian thankfulness that it can be effected by the gospel. The superiority of the gospel to the law in overcoming all the evils under which man labors is thus triumphantly established. And so we see how when he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now watch this. He said that this sin, these members, they work in my flesh. And I love this. Galatians 2:20. This is one, again, worthy of meditation, worthy. It will get you so excited when the truths begin to sink deep within your spirit. Listen, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Where is it? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. When in Romans chapter 7, Paul says, I'm living this life, and I find that when I want to do good, evil is present with me. Listen, but evil isn't present with you if you've died. I'm crucified with Christ. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And so Christ is living in me. And so when those tendencies come, when those propensities come, I recognize that I am dead, crucified with Christ. Christ is now living in me. I live to please him, not me. And it brings death to my flesh. Brings death to that evil. Lord, deliver me from the evil in my flesh. So deliver me from the evil one, deliver us from the evil of this age, and deliver us from the evil that is in our flesh, is our prayer. And we thank the Lord Jesus for doing that on every level. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your truth. Thank you, Lord, for divine realities that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, working death to our flesh and bringing life to our spirit that we might overcome all the evil that is in the world through the power of the righteous and holy one dwelling on the inside of us. I thank you, O God, Lord, that this truth, Lord, will be worked out in our life, not in the efforts of our own flesh, but in the power and in the grace that is provided by the Holy Ghost. So, Lord, let it ferment. Let it mature in us, oh God. And may we walk with you, oh God, in deeper realms, Lord, of intimacy, Lord, and blessedness and responsibility. We give you thanks for these things. I bless your people and all that you're doing in their life this week. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. The Lord bless you real good.